Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel edition impeachment. What is CNN's crisis in the White House? That's their crisis in the White House. They have a guy that they paid to say that.
We're all in the situation.
In the in and out. Well, yes, there's a lot of situations, aren't there? Well, we have our own little room here, and the walls are padded, and we're in good shape. Well, let me introduce everybody. We'll get started. We were off yesterday because of the hearing. And we're back today, so we have a lot to talk about, a lot to catch up with. And, of course, we welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. Panel at WAMC.org. A quick reminder, the lockbox is open. It was opened earlier this week. We are already at $154,893. Thank you all. We still have $345,000 to go, however. The lockbox goal is $500,000. Just 3 weeks, over 3 weeks to go before it'll be 3 weeks Monday for the fund drive on Monday, October 21st. So you can pledge online at WAMC.org. We'll be reminding you throughout the morning. And, of course, we'll be reminding you over the next 3 weeks that whatever we do now. Now, just think, if we were in fund drive today. Well, good Lord. Mm. You know, you would obviously want to know what's going on in the world.
Who knows where we'll be in a month?
I know. That scares me. Yeah. That scares me.
I think we should call this Freak Out Friday.
All right. Let me... Freaky Out Friday. All right. Let me introduce everyone to you. Investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo is with us. Good
Hello.
Morning. How are you?
Hello. Good.
With senior fellow and visiting professor at Bennington College, founder of Beyond Plastics, former EPA regional administrator Judith Enck is here. Good morning, Judith.
Good morning, Joe.
It's wonderful to have you here. Siena College economic professor Aaron Pacitti joins us. Good morning.
Good morning.
And, our good friend Malcolm Nance is back, counterterrorism expert, best-selling author, and a lot of people asking over the last several weeks, where is Malcolm? And you've been dealing with personal issues in your life, and our condolences to you, and it's just lovely to have you back.
Well, you'll all be very happy to know that, and for those of you who don't know, my wife passed a few weeks ago on September 11th, and since now I have moved back to the Hudson Valley permanently, which means I can be on the round table all the time now.
Excellent. Well, we're very saddened, of course. Your wife was so lovely and was always with you when she came and at our events, and so it's very sad, and we know you've all been through a lot, but we're thrilled that you're here and back and part of the family. So thank you
good
very much.
Here.
Good to have you. All right, let us get to it and start talking about what is going on in the world. And, what is it going on in the world? I don't know.
We don't care about that.
Yeah, well, it all has.
Good thing there's no
right?
jobs report this morning.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There is a durable goods order coming out, though.
We should talk about
it. I'm sorry, you've been bumped.
I figured.
All right. So the whistleblower's identity remains obscure. The details of his work for the CIA cloaked in secrecy. But the document he delivered reveals almost as much about the investigative mission he carried out in stealth as it does about the alleged abuses of power by the president of the United States. This from Greg Miller of The Washington Post. From the moment he learned about President Trump's attempts to extract political dirt on former Vice President Joe Biden, from the newly elected leader of Ukraine on July 25th, the CIA officer behind the whistleblower report moved swiftly behind the scenes to assemble material from at least a half dozen highly placed and equally dismayed U.S. officials. He wove their accounts with other painstakingly gathered material on everything from the intervention of Trump's personal lawyers, Rudolph Giuliani, and the U.S.-Ukraine relationship to the alleged efforts by American diplomats sent to Kiev and attorneys in the office of the White House counsel to contain or suppress the accruing damage. Editor Armeo, would you have allowed the word painstakingly gathered to be in your reporter's story?
It's right on the edge. It definitely is.
Editorializing a little.
Editorializing. However, I am struck by how it was characterized before we actually saw it as secondhand information. He didn't really listen to the conversation. And when you see it, it's actually quite excellent, even, mm-hmm. dare I say it, painstaking journalism put together from a number of sources. It even offers alternative views in some place of what it might mean, but probably doesn't. It's an excellent piece of analysis.
This is probably a question for, or a comment that I will direct to Malcolm, but, you know, the guy is a or whoever, man or woman, we don't know.
We don't know.
But a CIA agent, so we're assuming they're not a dummy.
Well, I thought what you were going to ask me and what I want to hear Malcolm talk about is, what do you think of the New York Times outing him? They didn't give a name, but they've given a lot of information about him at a time when the president said he should be hanged.
Well, let's talk about
that. Well,
the
people feeding him should be hanged.
It's, you know, I went back and read it, Judith, and it's a little bit interesting whether he means all of them, but he certainly has no good feelings.
I got the impression that he thought the whistleblowing and the whistleblower are people who should have been treated the way they dealt with spies in the American Revolution, which was to hang them. But let's talk a little bit about the identity of this person. Easy to track back. Was a CIA liaison officer to the White House, mm-hmm. which is probably two or three people.
Exactly.
You know, whether it's a male or a female is irrelevant. What's most relevant is the information that they put out. And I'd like to categorize that for the audience in case you're wondering. It's not so much the threats that Donald Trump made to the president of Ukraine. It's the complainant had made had gained information that they had taken this transcript, which would at the most be classified secret level information. And so that you understand where that stands, there's three levels of classified information: confidential, secret, top secret. But above top secret, there is an entirely different world of classified information, and that's called code word information. And it's confidential code word, secret code word, top secret code word. To give you an idea of what that is, you guys remember World War II when we broke the Enigma code? Well, the actual classification was top secret. The code word was Enigma. If you saw that document, you were looking at the most important document of World War II. They took this transcript to the president of the Ukraine and they hid it in top secret code word server that only the most classified, darkest secrets in the White House should be put on,
but now,
in order to hide it.
Now, what do you mean they took it to the president of the Ukraine?
I mean, they didn't. The transcript of the discussion with the president.
With
of Ukraine
the president was put into this.
The congratulatory phone call.
Right. Yeah, perfect phone call.
Perfect. Yeah.
So let me ask you. So to Rosemary's point, this from the New York Times. On Thursday, the Times published exclusive details about the identity of the whistleblower whose claims led Democrats to begin an impeachment inquiry against President Trump this week. The article reported that the whistleblower is a CIA officer who was previously detailed to work at the White House and had expertise on Ukraine. Many readers, including some who work in national security and intelligence, have criticized the Times' decision to publish the details, saying it potentially put the person's life in danger and may have a chilling effect on would-be whistleblowers. Dean Baquette, who is the Times executive editor, responded, "The president and some of his supporters have attacked the credibility of the whistleblower," Baquette said, "who has presented information that has touched off a landmark impeachment proceeding. The president himself has called the whistleblower's account a political hack job. We decided to publish limited information about the whistleblower, including the fact that he works for a non-political agency and that his complaint is based on an intimate knowledge and understanding of the White House, because we wanted to provide information to readers that allows them to make their own judgments about whether or not he is credible."
I felt that the New York Times releasing that he was a CIA detailed officer to the White House, I felt yesterday that gave it an enormous amount of credibility. I mean, you know, if it had been a Joe Schmo military intelligence spy like myself, you could do something. But
it limits the field, doesn't it?
I mean, yeah, it winnows.
He's identifiable.
The person's name is going to come out.
Well, the Times said it was a he.
Well, the person's name is going to come out. Mm-hmm. If it was me, I would have been out in front of cameras, you know, dropping bombs left and right, because I'm just that kind of person. This person wants to remain within the community and did everything properly as a whistleblower, and we should protect his or her identity.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, sorry to interrupt you, because I didn't mean to do that.
No.
I also think that we need a lot of protection or overhaul of that whistleblower system, because he is not been protected. He's been vilified. He should feel nervous right now about his future.
The president has the ability to out that person this very second by declassifying him and all of his or her activities. So there's great danger here.
But look what happened. Hey, the whole process was not secret. The president knew about it as soon as his complaint was issued. That's not the way it's supposed to work.
Something else we learned from the Times, that they knew right away.
But doesn't outing the whistleblower also out the people who fed him information who wouldn't be protected by the whistleblower?
That's interesting.
Well, that was a careful thing. Am I right? Because the president seemed to be in his the spy remark about what we used to do to them in the old days. He said that he was concerned about the people who fed the whistleblower the information.
Everyone in that White House feeds the whistleblower, Judith.
Yeah, well, that's certainly how I read it. And you know, every federal agency can put people on detail to the White House. So it's probably, and especially at this time period, everyone in the White House now knows who the whistleblower is. Who leaked to the New York Times this general description?
Good one.
A CIA person who was on detail. Clearly a Trump
I'm not sure it was a leak, Judith. I mean, when they saw the report, you could see certain things from the way it was put together.
But it could be.
And if you have good sources, and the Washington Post has excellent White House sources, they were going to people saying, look, it could only be the following. The reporters know how it works.
But that's still leaking,
a lot
right?
of people work on security issues at the White House. I mean, this is like, and I love the senators who say, I haven't read it yet. It's 9 pages, you know.
Seven,
with the two attachments. I printed it out last night. It took 10 minutes to read it with my highlighter. So thank you, senators.
Rachel Maddow says one beer. Drink one beer and you can read through the whole thing.
It's also available. Someone did an audiobook on it already first day.
Penguin audiobook. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's, I think kind of the process stuff is important, but I think the bigger issue here is, you know, if you're a police investigator and the person essentially, admits what they've done in the first interview, it's kind of game over. And that's what it seems
like to
me.
It's so extraordinary how fast this has gone. Do you remember it was like less than 2 weeks ago when a reader,
it's been 10 days.
A listener 10 days. Actually sent us a note saying, hey, what do you think of this whistleblower thing? And we said, oh, we don't know anything yet. Wait till it gels. And like now we're into impeachment inquiry.
And we were talking about why. Now, remember, they didn't release the transcript because that's now in the top secret bottom drawer of Trump's residence. But why did the White House think it was okay to put out the summary?
That's what I don't
get. They didn't have to go, like, there was no court battle over that, which there always is, like the tax returns. And this was just like, okay, here, no subpoena.
Here's the gun.
And
please don't look at all the smoke coming from it.
I have a theory on this, but let's hear from
Malcolm
first.
No, I want to hear your theory first, because I got a good one.
My theory is there are really...
I'm sure they're both good theories.
There are no guardrails left, we know that, in the White House. I mean, whatever you thought of McMaster and John Kelly, sometimes they could talk sense into the President of the United States. I think everyone in the White House now just does whatever he says. They're scared of him. And so he said, put it out. And no one said, Mr. President, you want to rethink this? And so they're just following his lead right off the cliff.
I mean,
no, go on.
So another theory is that, you know, there was no the summary of the transcript summary doesn't expose the quid pro quo for foreign aid and the investigation.
And he wanted
I think Trump wanted to show that. But what either he didn't realize or didn't care about is that he implicates Giuliani and Barr.
And he doesn't care about it
in terms of working for him in doing this. And I think he was probably concerned with that, but in the process leaked equally damning information.
And your theory, Mr. Pence?
I think that there's a much easier explanation. If you guys recall when Bill Clinton got acquitted from his impeachment, there was a Saturday Night Live episode where Bill Clinton, you know, the two Republicans are commiserating in a bar and Bill Clinton comes in with a hooker on each arm and he comes over to them and he goes, I am Teflon. Right? I think when the Mueller report did not expand into a massive impeachment inquiry, the day after, he thought, I am the master
of the universe. Whatever I do is right. Whatever I say is correct. If I say it wasn't this, you are now convinced of it, and you Democrats can't touch me. Quid pro quo, he doesn't care. All right? Like you said, it's not on paper. But, you know, putting this thing out, he thought this was exculpatory. The minute I read it, I thought, you are done. You know,
we were reading it on air. We were reading it on air. Holy, whoa, stay on another half hour.
No, you know, we read the whole thing. It was like an audiobook.
He lives in an alternate universe. He's in an alternate universe where all of that is awesome.
The reporting this morning is that Pence talked to him and said, do not release this. This is a mistake.
That would have been
even worse. And then backed the decision. I'm sure he was thinking his head off. Good.
It would have been even worse if they didn't release it and then it was leaked.
But do you remember there was the whole thing in the press and about why the Ukraine trip, Pence's Ukraine trip, was canceled
right.
at the last minute? And now we know why that would have been more so.
And Rudy's trip was canceled. Remember, he was going to the Ukraine.
But that was from press coverage.
Instead, he met in Madrid with the representative.
Can we talk for a minute about Barr? Because that's
talk 45 seconds about Barr.
Okay, we'll come back.
We'll come back to it.
Of course, it's been eclipsed by Trump, but he's in the first paragraph of that whistleblower's report, and then he took it on. He ruled on it. His department ruled.
He didn't recuse himself. Even though he's subject of the complaint. But bye, Barr.
Disbarment.
Bye, Barr. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we welcome your letters. We have a lot already. I know. I was shocked, too. But we'll get to those. And we have a wonderful panel. We have Judith Eng, Malcolm Nance, Aaron Pasitti, and Rosemary Armeo. Alan is off today. He'll be back probably Monday. We'll be back right after this short break. We have a lot. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. We have a lot to talk about, a lot more, much more to discuss, and we have a lot of letters, so we'll get to those in just a second. Just a quick question for the panel. I was listening to the hearing yesterday with Mr. McGuire, and I have to say I was impressed by this guy. He seemed to answer everybody's question. You know, I got to listen to it because our show was off the air, and but it was. I thought it was. You know, if that's a primer for how people should go into these hearings and present information, I thought, well, that seems fair.
Well, let me say something. I know Admiral McGuire back when he was with the SEAL teams, and I was working in intelligence there. He's a straight shooter. He played a straight shooter, but he did reveal the one place where he screwed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I mean, he came out and talked about how his oath to the Constitution was everything, how he handled this in accordance to the whistleblower activities. But he went to the White House first.
Yeah.
Instead of to the IG, to the lawyers. I mean, he's... You know that saying, everything Trump touches dies? He may have just ended his career with
this. You really feel for him. He's like days in the job.
It was his first day. It was his first day.
Welcome aboard.
And this is dumped on him.
That's what
he goes,
you sign up for, though.
It just didn't seem prudent, he said.
You take the big boy job and hurricanes hit and both figuratively and literally.
I thought the mistake, Malcolm, was when he said, any time I talk to the president, that's privilege. I can't talk about it. But then he emphatically said, no, Trump had not pressed him for the whistleblower's name.
Yeah. Right.
Revealing
so
that there was a conversation.
You know, when you talk to, when you get a guy like that who's an admiral, they will follow direct orders. Mm-hmm. And we found that with every general that's worked for Trump, they won't violate the sanctity of the chain of command, even though their position as director of national intelligence has obligations to the Constitution that supersede that fealty to Donald Trump himself. Trump exploits that in people, and it almost always destroys them. And I suspect he'll probably get away with this. McGuire is now chastened, but this was not the impeachment inquiry yesterday he was interviewed on. It was a general meeting of the Intelligence Committee. And should this be brought up in the impeachment inquiry, they have far more power to make him talk
And I suspect he won't lie for the president if it comes up again.
Well, I thought a lot of his testimony, I only saw the beginning, heard the beginning. I thought most of it was CYA, to be honest.
Oh, some good ones.
And I was not super impressed. I guess I'm sympathetic that he was new on the job. But you know who else was new on the job? The president of the Ukraine. I mean, that is a fragile democracy.
TV guy, by the way, not a politician.
Stephen Colbert of the Ukraine, right? He's a comedian.
Yeah. Yes,
TV
exactly.
guy.
Yeah.
So here he is. He has this immense responsibility. The huge eastern border with Russia. You know, Russia a major threat. He needs this money to defend his country, and he's reduced to things like, "Oh, Mr. President, when I was in New York, I stayed at Trump Tower." You know, he's kind of
Central Park.
He's doing everything he feels like he needs to do to please dear leader. But what an embarrassment for our country, and how sad this is.
When I read that part of the transcript, Rosemary was just over here going,
"Yeah, right." And
in case you missed it,
and that's what they feel like they need foreign leaders need to do: stay at the Trump Hotel to curry favor. But you know, this guy is a really hard job.
To get back to McGuire, though, I did listen to all 3.5 hours because I'm retired now; I can do that. And at first I said, okay, he's seen a lawyer. This is lawyer talk. You know, I executive privilege, that's the first thing I thought of, blah, blah, blah. My question was, why didn't he go to lawyers for Congress then to figure out what to do with it? Not, you don't go to Barr, who's named in the first paragraph of it, and you don't go to the White House. But as he talked, I mean, he gave lots of credit to the whistleblower and to the inspector general, the intelligence inspector general. He was extremely respectful. I think he made clear the bind that he felt that he was in. He said, we did turn it over to the FBI. He actually, I thought he did cover his butt.
But what he did, of course. But what matters more than anything is the first thing he did, and he did the wrong thing.
Yeah.
He went, the subject is the White House, and he gave it to the
White House. Was not part of the impeachment inquiry, and should he be brought back, that's a different evolution he will have to go through, and he'll have to decide Constitution or Trump. This was a general hearing at Congress, and he did decide to answer those questions relatively forthright, but he did do a lot of CYA because that's the job that you have to do to maintain your job.
Now I'm losing my train of thought because I was
jumping
in there. We have to go to letters. We got a ton of letters,
so let me just get to a couple
of letters. Oh, you say recycling questions? What are the letters? Remember, only 1, 2, and 5 plastic can be recycled.
Yeah. Oddly enough, nothing on that today, Judith. All right, we go to Fred, who is writing about the impeachment trial. I'd like to hear the panel's prognosis if the following hypothetical occurs. The House impeaches Trump on the narrow issue of the Ukraine dirtiness, and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell refuses to hold a trial as he did with Merrick Garland's nomination because there is no enforcement mechanism to make him. In my opinion, the Justice Department held up the whistleblower's complaint well beyond the statutory requirement to give the president's enablers enough time to construct a legal rationalization for McConnell to stand on. Anybody? Okay. Fred, we've read your letter, and apparently our panel doesn't want to comment. Neil.
It's plausible.
Yeah. It's all plausible.
Yeah. Neil says, first things first, condolences to Malcolm. We have missed you.
I missed you all.
I suspect Trump will resign. He's a dead man walking. He'll resign in exchange for a pardon, but the Republican Party must be purged. The big question is whether Pence or other Trumpists can win in 2020 and keep Trumpism alive.
No, he's too pathological and narcissistic to resign.
We've said that 100 times.
I mean, he's going to the mat on this.
Yeah.
Agree.
And I also think he's burning down the house. I mean, he is. His comments attacking the media are always bad. But yesterday when he spoke at the UN breakfast, you know, it was like it was in the morning. UN staff brought their families. And that's when he trotted out the treason scenario. It's not usually a red meat sort of breakfast event. But he said, you know, the reporters are animals. He called.
We are.
Yeah, he called Adam Schiff, you know, dumb as rocks or something like that. I think, you know, he wants to destroy the integrity of the media, of Congress,
intelligence community.
The one thing, though, that I caught that
he
said...
That's new, though, but...
Yeah, but it's more intense. You're right. It's not new, but he's, like, cornered. And I think, you know, the one thing I caught yesterday is he said he wants to take the Democrats to court over this. He feels like he's got his allies in the federal courts. He owns the judiciary.
He thinks he owns the
judiciary.
And
he would like this to play out in court as his only haven.
I got to tell you. All right. I've worked intelligence missions against some of the biggest dictators in the world. Saddam, Gaddafi. I was on the ground in Libya when they were after Gaddafi. Let me tell you something. We have not even seen him go off the chain yet. I think Donald Trump is an extremely dangerous person. And that when this starts to really sink in and you start seeing, like we saw yesterday, the all cap tweets, and that he starts to fulminate like Nixon did, and he will either burn the house down literally, or he will come up with a distraction that will cost people their lives. And I'm saying that, putting all of my intelligence analysis career behind that. This man is a very cornered animal, and the depth of what's happening now has not even started to hit him. He thinks he's going to get away with this all, but when it becomes obvious, it's going to be unhappy.
I hope you're not right, but I'm always right. And that's the problem with you.
You should become an economist.
That's the problem. But my question slash issue is, he has protection right now in the Republican Party. There's a lot of people that are around him who are protecting him. So at what point does that break down? If he's the cornered animal, there's a lot of people in front of him who are pushing,
everybody away. Is it cracking? Hannity's worried. Sass is worried.
Trump is getting a lot of exercise.
But yesterday someone put out the perfect analysis of this on Twitter. They said, caging children didn't do it.
Yeah.
All right? Attacking an entire religion of people didn't do it. Stealing money from Congress to build a wall from defense appropriation didn't do it. Every horrible thing he's done up to this point, which his supporters love him for, didn't do it. This is open extortion by the President of the United States. And then we're going to find out what, and again, what the significance of this is nothing. It's the fact that he has other conversations that could be far worse with Vladimir Putin that we're now going to get access to.
But a deranged man walked into a kindergarten and killed children, and the gun laws didn't change, and we thought that was going to do it, and it didn't.
You know,
and I just wonder, and that when we talk about these issues, you know, if you come complacent, if you become complacent to it, I don't know. You know, what else is it going to take?
Well, before this week, Trump still had 94% support among Republicans. But I think what's going to do it, and we saw a glimpse of this. Gabe Sherman had a story last night in Vanity Fair that Fox is starting to freak out. Paul Ryan, who's on the board of directors of Fox, said you need to start planning for a post-Trump world. And I've long maintained if Fox abandons him, even in the most modest way, then we'll start to see a turn. That's what I want to keep an eye on.
This brings up another possibility is that, and I think Malcolm hinted at this, is that this is probably just the tip of the iceberg in terms of, well, what other calls did the White House put in this, you know, top secret drawer above the top secret drawer?
Under your socks, where you hide the candy.
And, you know, Malcolm referred to Putin, but this is probably not the only call where something...
How about the Saudi Arabian call?
Right.
The Dems are going to use the powers of impeachment inquiry, which are vast, to call the White House out and say, you're going to start telling us this. And he's going to lock down solid executive privilege. But this is abandoned ship time at the White House.
Wow. Right.
Those staffers or the CIA or someone is going to start saying, here's the call before Helsinki where he coordinated with Putin to pressure the Ukraine. Here's the call with the murder of Khashoggi where he said, don't worry about it, we'll cover for you. This is the single dirtiest White House in the history
history of America, and all the dirt is eventually going to come out. So, and I still got books to write, so this is going to be awesome.
So my...
Bad for the country, good for Malcolm.
No, bad for the country, bad for Malcolm.
Now we have, we got to go to a break, but let's do that, and we'll come back and we'll talk about it. We really do have to get to the letter. So we'll take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Good morning. Welcome back to The Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Judith Heng, Malcolm Nance, Aaron Pasitti, and Rosemary Armeo on the panel this morning. A ton of letters, and we'll get to those. John says, where in the CIA charter does it authorize monitoring and disseminating the communications of the president? Oh, by the way, CIA has no charter to work inside the U.S. He shouldn't have been assigned anywhere.
Ugh. Okay. For all of you who aren't in the intelligence community and only get your information about the CIA from Jason Bourne, you are right. The CIA charter does not allow covert or clandestine activities inside. No, not you.
Okay.
The letter writer.
Okay. No, they don't do Jason operations Bourne. In the United States, but they do have day jobs. And their day job sometimes brings them into the White House. And they also are custodians and curators of classified information within the White House on matters related to the CIA and national security. If anyone in the intelligence community, and I'm talking to all of you, see anything that you may believe is a crime, your job is to alert the Inspector General of the intelligence community as to what that is and allow them to carry out further inquiry, and then it gets briefed to Congress. Oh, that all happened.
Ted says the media keeps focusing on Trump's frame that there was no pressure on the Ukrainian president. My understanding is the law is that there can be a solicitation for assistance from a foreign government. Pressure technically doesn't matter. It's solicitation. The media needs to stop yielding to Republicans' way of framing debates and get smarter. We go to David. It's a setup. I can't help but think the transcript, quote unquote, is a setup to increase confusion and control the airwaves. The president has done that over and over successfully. While the world looks at the Matador's flag, he continues with his mission. One would hope there would be a more effective counterforce, but we have not seen it.
Well, look, every week we're told we're distracted. You know, it's just a distraction game. I'm kind of getting bored with that argument, to be honest.
I agree with you.
And,
I agree with you.
And you know, the other striking thing is you see the Republicans who are defending the president, including yesterday, and all they're saying is it's a witch hunt, it's unfair. It's so striking that none of them are offering a substantive defense of what the president did.
Yes.
And no one thinks it's out of character. No one said, oh, our president would not say those
things. In that hearing, it was the Republicans were so worried about how the information got out than they were about what the
information
was,
yes.
which is striking. Mike writes and says, the wall of silence. I'm still baffled at the silence, defense, and outright denial of Trump's actions by the Republicans. Please tell me why so few are coming out publicly like Mitt Romney has. I'm so scared this Republican circling of the wagons will not be broken. Well, we touched on that, but...
Yeah, the Republican base here is a rabid group of people. And for those of you who are part of that base and are hearing this, then, you know, please excuse yourselves because, you know, you have to stand for the Constitution of the United States. Above all, I have literally risked every minute of my life doing that for you against horrible terrorist people. So why don't you do it for your own flag? Because this is it. If the president of the United States can extort our, by the way, allies with our weapon systems they need to protect themselves from an ex-KGB communist dictator, Vladimir Putin, in order to get dirt on another politician in the United States, then the entire fundamental system of American laws is broken. You let this get away. This is beyond Nixon. I mean, poor Nixon. I mean, he's going to be rehabilitated after this.
Mike asks for Malcolm to again explain the information that went to the secret server.
Okay. The information.
It's why we have podcasts, and you could listen to the repeat, but I'll allow it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the information that went to the server was a transcript or a series of notes of the president's general conversation with the president of the Ukraine. They are usually not top secret. They're usually confidential or generally general service secret. He hid this information in the single most secret place in the White House, along with top secret clandestine and covert operations. It was misclassified information that was hidden, and that actually made the server itself vulnerable to, you know, access by people who shouldn't have access to it. It was overclassification in order to hide a secret, that political secret he did not want to come out. Now, guys like me, I want to know all of those conversations that were hidden in the top secret SCI code word server, because that means they are troubling if they were hidden on that computer.
Peter says the brilliant Trump chief of staff proudly told us his way of doing his job was to, quote, let Trump be Trump. Now we see what that has led to.
Acting chief of staff. Mulvaney is still acting.
Isn't that just
everyone? Exactly.
I was going to say, isn't that just implied?
That's everyone.
They don't,
it's a Shakespeare
why
theater
they don't
in the
stand
round.
Up. That's why you get these problems.
Yeah. Alan says, if you look at the psychology of this, in his mind, it was a perfect karma squall with Ukraine. If you look at his history, extortion, withholding payments, pressure, quid pro quo, backroom deals are all he knows. None of this should be a surprise. Then we go to Gene, the Republicans, again, the subject being quid pro quo. The Republicans are working so hard to convince us all that there was no quid pro quo, which is cute. But what a waste of effort. As Chairman Schiff mentioned at the beginning of the questioning, the Campaign Finance Act does not require there be a quid pro quo in order to find a person guilty of violating the act. It provides only that a candidate may not either accept or solicit something of value.
I remember Trump on the call did say, can you do me a favor?
Yeah,
that's right.
Do us a favor.
Do us a favor.
Yeah, right after the guy said, hey, I need those Javelin missiles to stop against Russian tanks. Mm-hmm. He's like, do us a favor.
I had to look up what a Javelin missile was.
A Javelin missile.
I was just like thinking wand darts. I didn't know like what the hell they were doing.
A Javelin missile is the most advanced anti-tank missile on this planet. You aim it, you pull the trigger, and you walk away, and it will destroy any tank Russia has. Ukraine is in active warfare with Russia and its irregular surrogates, and they need that missile. It's a deal-breaking missile, man. You attack a country that has that, you are going to suffer, which is why Trump knew that and was doing the bidding, I think, of Moscow on this phone call.
That's the confusing part is that, you know,
it's a twofer.
The U.S. allying with Ukraine, who is not an ally with Russia.
Act now and this at it. And
it just boggled my mind in terms of the strategy of that.
Cindy asks this question. I wonder what Pence knows, and when did he know it? And what were his conversations about with Ukraine? Are we looking at President Pelosi?
Yeah, you brought it up. That trip to Ukraine, which at the time was canceled under a very flimsy pretense. And we even talked about that here. What was the real reason it was canceled?
Well,
now look back at that.
Yeah,
go ahead, Judy.
Teresa Bourgeois always refers to the Trump-Pence administration,
yes,
which
does.
I think is really important.
She's right.
And Pence is right up to his eyeballs on this one. I mean, he is, I don't think Trump did any of this without pulling Pence in. And I think if there's a careful inquiry, Pence is in trouble.
He's the vice president of the United States, I want to remind people.
Yeah. As far as loyalty, Trump has thrown Pence right under the bus. Yep. Oh, you think I'm bad? Well, go look at Pence's conversations.
Right.
He had perfect conversations, too.
Just like Giuliani keeps throwing the State Department under the bus.
I don't get that part.
Oh, I do.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, I get it, but I don't know. Well, all right. Well,
I understand it. When Giuliani was asked that question, he was throwing the authority of Donald Trump behind him and saying the State Department was my play toy.
Well, I didn't get it until he held up the phone, and then
he didn't understand that this is burning Pompeo and everyone down to the ground. All of them are getting hauled in.
Oh, I think he does know it burns Pompeo. Remember, that's the job he wanted at the beginning.
Yeah, they don't get along. So last night, Fox had Giuliani on again.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing.
Keep him on the payroll.
And he was just as zany as usual. And I'm fascinated.
He never really does disappoint in that regard.
No. I have to admit, when when I kind of, you know, Fox is not really my media ecosystem. Your go-to. But I do check in from time to time when there are high-profile issues. And every time Giuliani is on, I stay on that channel. And he is just digging that hole deeper.
We should rename that Giuliani time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. We have a bunch of letters here, some of them being critical, and I'd like to get to those, sure. But I want to give them time. So let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll dive into those. Judith Enck, Malcolm Nance, Aaron Pasitti, Rosemary Armeo, your questions, comments, concerns, panel at WAMC.org. We'll be back right after news with Ray Graff. Good morning. Welcome to our panel discussion. It's a lively one. We've got a great group here, as always. We have our good friends.
Who are they again?
Well, oh, I'm sorry. Everyone's pointing to the television because CNN's reporting that Corey Lewandowski may be leading the White House impeachment
team. Oh, this
team.
Is going to be fun.
Please, Jesus.
That'll be fun.
Bring it.
Yes.
We were just talking.
I vote for that.
We were just talking about how people call this White House Apprentice. Now there needs to be Capitol Hill Apprentice. And if Nancy Pelosi can make this visually more interesting than Donald Trump, he will just go to pieces.
Done. All she has to do is name a special committee, put Scaramucci at the head of it. We're done. We got a great show. Let the games begin.
And seat Stormy.
Remember
Daniels
when Lewandowski was in, when he testified, that dreadful experience like 2 weeks ago? No. And he revealed that the Republicans are paying his legal fees.
Oh, I did not know that.
He's got big legal expenses that are being covered by some Republican committee. But I think it'd be great to have him head up the White House defense.
Yeah. Hall.
Maybe that's how he earns his fees back. Yeah.
All right. Lots of letters. We'll go quick. Alex says, wondering if Malcolm thinks it's possible that the conversation put into secret classified computer could somehow be deleted and erased by Trump and allies in the White House.
Negative.
Assuming not possible.
Negative. Can't be done. Some bad news for you. It's all kept on a super top secret CIA cloud. Yeah. And any accessing it, touching it, deleting it, you were stupid enough to put it there. We're going to find it.
Sean says, keep grasping at straws. Yeah. Sorry, folks, but for those of us not blinded by our hatred of Trump, and look, I'm not a big fan of the guy, there's still nothing there with Ukraine beyond far off and unlikely possibilities. You decided that Trump was guilty of who knew what before any documentation was released, and now that it's here, you're desperately trying to fit pieces together in an attempt to get them to match up to your preconceived notions. This is why the left has lost all credibility when it comes to anything regarding the president. You're all just rabid animals when it comes to him, irrational and bloodthirsty. Who wants to answer?
I just find it fascinating how people in this country have such contempt and hatred for the Constitution of the United States that I have sworn my very soul to protect.
Now, they would say that about the left.
No, they can't, because the Constitution says the President of the United States cannot go around bribing people, cannot go around receiving things which are of value. The laws are the laws. Just because they benefit your guy doesn't mean that you should burn the Constitution down, all right? That's dictatorship. This country has never had this in 244 years, except for that Civil War thing. I mean, that, by the way, was done in accordance with the Constitution.
Editor Armeo here, I believe that Joe's tone reading that letter and the vehemence of Malcolm's response just makes the point of the reader. And I think
I was doing Bob and Ray, but go ahead.
And I also hated Adam Schiff yesterday, beginning that hearing with a fake parody of the phone call.
Yeah,
the real phone
thinking?
Call was bad enough. Yeah. And we do have to tone it down, keep it completely straight, and just uphold the Constitution, but in a way that does not mock and ridicule people who think differently.
We
they're wrong.
We really, the facts are so compelling.
Right.
I think the letter writer should just read the unclassified whistleblower complaint, which the Trump-appointed IG said was credible.
Yeah, I mean, just wait a couple weeks or months and then let the facts speak for themselves and see if we're right or wrong about this.
The facts are pretty good now.
Us animals in the
one
room.
One quick point, Rosemary. I agree with your point that journalists should be that way. I am not a journalist, okay? I am a writer and an ex-spy. So I have some strong opinions.
The writer was not addressing journalists. The writer was addressing people on the left, and you are included in that, Malcolm.
Well, I am now because as a center-of-the-road former Republican, I guess, we're all right. The left. And I am being snarky because I address these things with snark.
As investigative reporters, we do learn that snark does not help you. It just builds bias and a resistance to what you're saying. And I just see that all the time. And I talked in the break about Lindsey Graham. What the heck?
Yeah.
This was a man who did support an impeachment against Bill Clinton. And at that time, I was that letter writer saying, what the heck are you doing? It's crazy. You just want to get him. And we're now on the other side. And I don't want us to blow it for the sake of, making a
funny point. Congress to blow it.
Yeah, Adam
shifted. And also, I would really encourage congressional Democrats, while you need a good team working on impeachment, they should also be talking about health care and climate change and student loan debt. I mean, it can't just be all impeachment all the time leading up to 2020.
No. All right, couple more letters. Derek says the memo release of Trump's phone call with the president of Ukraine seems incomplete. The heading says it took place at 9:03 to 9:33. The memo seems to work to include maybe 10 minutes of conversation. Right. Any explanation for this? It's the translation. It was the back and forth translation, which was taken out.
It's like
triple the time because it was back and forth. So that was the explanation for that.
Joe, you are on it, man.
Yeah. Good news.
You are in deep. Are you the whistleblower?
He's deep, I have to make up for Rosemary chastising me. Ray writes.
I thought you both took it very well, and I thought Rosemary's point was perfect.
Okay, here we go.
The conversation. Earlier, my God, that word will never be the same to me again.
What?
Perfect. It was a perfect conversation.
Perfect
conversation.
Beautiful. Earlier this morning, I heard a Republican speaking on WAMC, and he mentioned his constituents were asking him what was the big deal about Trump, about what Trump had recently done. My question is, if that is not a big deal, then what was the big deal with Benghazi? Well, we can't look. Look at the hypocrisy playbook, can we? I mean,
it's too long.
Yeah. Republicans don't care about the word hypocrisy anymore.
It is my understanding, writes Bruce, that Giuliani had been to Ukraine a few times and, quote, making noises there for over the past several weeks. That being so, I found Trump's lengthy description of him to be interesting and confusing. Why would Trump think that Giuliani would require such an introduction? What would be his motive? Thoughts?
Well, I think Giuliani was doing Trump's dirty work for him, and Trump wanted to make it as easy as possible. But, the newsflash for Rudy Giuliani over the next few weeks and few months is that Trump will not be loyal to him. He's not loyal to anyone. Yeah. So Giuliani may be going down.
This seems kind of like a mafia state, too, where, the boss tells you to do something. You've been a made man.
Loyal.
And you do it even if you don't agree with it because you know you're... future
but Rudy
depends on it.
Rudy probably agrees.
Well, yeah, there's that too.
I view Rudy Giuliani, if we're going to keep going with these mafia analogies, is Joe Pesci in Goodfellas here, right? A loyal capo, a loyal lieutenant, all the way to the moment where he walks into the room where there's plastic on the floor. Okay? He just doesn't understand at that very moment when his career is over that, the bosses have their own agenda. Mm-hmm. And Trump has his own agenda. This thing, you might recall back in May when Giuliani was supposed to go to Ukraine and it was canceled. Mm-hmm. It wasn't canceled because of Trump and Pence. It was canceled because the news media heard
found out about this.
And they were like, you're going to investigate Biden? And it got dropped. And he secretly went to Madrid and had a meeting. Giuliani knows what he's doing. Trump knows what he's doing. But you know what? If it gets bad and Trump goes over the rails, he will get rid of he'll burn Giuliani and think that he's going to walk away scot-free.
Interesting.
No, Goodfellas.
It's like a movie.
It is a movie. It's Goodfellas.
Wow.
Cousin Vinny.
Cousin
Ed, Ed writes, talking about Trump digging up dirt on Biden vis-a-vis Zelensky is a necessary principled rule of law inquiry. But whether or not Trump gets through this and is reelected will come down to the court of public opinion. We need to get our heads out of the sand. The Biden's dealings with the Ukrainians were undeniably creepy. And in Battle of the Creeps, Trump is going to win every time.
I saw a brilliant comment yesterday, which said how the New York Times coverage initially of this was, and it described it as the Watergate break-in. We need to get to the bottom of the secrets that the Democrats were hiding in the Watergate. You know, ignoring the break-in, ignoring the president. You know, this is but her emails. Coverage again in some respects. This thing has been adjudicated 100%. The smear of, well, what was Biden doing on the board, Biden Jr. doing on the board of a place in the Ukraine?
A gas company.
You know, which was being investigated by a corrupt politician that every government in the world wanted to get rid of.
Okay, I do have that question about Hunter Biden. I will repeat that. Oh, that doesn't excuse any of the rest of it, but Google Hunter Biden getting $50,000 a year from Ukrainian gas company. Why are they paying a drug addict, which is what he is? Well, come on.
Okay, all right.
Because he's related to Biden, that's it.
Well, first off, Google machine, all right? We here are not doing the actual reporting on that stuff. We're talking about why was Donald Trump using all levers of American power to go get dirt, not on Joe Biden, not for a legitimate investigation, but on his son. That's the case. What if Biden suddenly gets China to start investigating Ivanka Trump and Eric Trump and Donald Trump Jr.? We would be just as incensed.
It worked with Bill Clinton when they went after the foundation, which was not Hillary. And it worked for them, and he's trying it now. Of course it's wrong. That does not change the fact that what was going on in the Clinton Foundation and what's going on with Hunter Biden is still a legitimate story. I want to know about it.
Okay. Well, Ken Vogel is all over the Biden.
It's not as exciting as this.
Clinton
I give
Foundation
you that.
The Clinton Foundation is still in operation and still is considered a AAA-rated charity and blah, 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 blah. But you know what? We are literally talking about the destruction of the Constitution here. And people are ready to ignore it for little piddly things.
Well, when this was going down, sorry, Joe, it was your show.
Sorry.
When this was going down, I think Trump was convinced that Biden was the front runner. He's going to win. That still may be the case. Now that Biden is fading in the polls, what's Trump going to do to Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders or Kamala Harris, where Trump has control of the IRS, he has control of intelligence agencies? I mean, it's a stretch to get a foreign government to go dig up dirt on your opponents. But when you control the IRS and other American bureaucracies, you know, he can look at other political opponents.
And it probably has.
Let's move on, and not really.
There's something to move on to.
No, there really isn't. My just going to change the subject slightly and talk about the probe itself. Democrats are eyeing a quick impeachment probe of Trump as freshmen push for focus on Ukraine. So House Democratic leaders are eyeing a fast-paced investigation into the possible impeachment of President Trump, instructing the committees handling the probe to wrap up their findings within weeks, in hopes of concluding before the holiday season. Meanwhile, they're off for the next 2 weeks, we should know.
Yeah, but they're still working.
On the investigation.
Yeah, just because they're not in session doesn't mean all the staff aren't working.
Understood.
And Rosemary, they did hire Lawrence Tribe and Fred Wertheimer and Phil Schirillo from the Obama White House to they're working on the Democratic payroll now on this.
Okay, that's cool.
And they're going to be going against Corey Lewandowski?
Corey Lewandowski.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
a
fair
fight. All right.
Oh, my God. No, but you got to understand, one side has lawyers who will be dealing within the law and upholding the framework of the norms of the American Republic, and Corey Lewandowski will be burning them on Fox News in order to besmirch everyone and everything. And this is why I keep constantly saying this is about the defense of democracy and the defense of the Constitution. It's not even about politics anymore, because if when Trump gets away, or if he gets away with this, it's all legit.
bribery, to getting people to pay you money through your hotel, getting your children to be on the U.S. government payroll and allowing them to make money off the government. It all has to come out in this one, or we are going to damage ourselves horribly.
Multiple Democratic lawmakers and congressional aides said there is no formal timeline for the inquiry, but the need for speed, as one aide put it, comes as Speaker Nancy Pelosi is under pressure from vulnerable freshmen to keep the investigation narrowly focused and disciplined. CNN reporting that House Intel member is told to be prepared to return during the recess to work on the impeachment.
Well, Trump's only got a year left in his term. Approximately a year. So the need for speed is legitimate because what would happen if the impeachment proceedings weren't concluded by the end of Trump's term?
Clinton started in October and ended on February 26th, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that was
pretty dang narrow.
Yeah, they're trying to prevent this from being part of the 2020 election debate.
That's insane.
But remember, 223 House members have already publicly said they support impeachment.
Impeachment.
But I think this is going to move faster than they are typically moving.
They're trying to counter quick action, speedy trial, if you will, with rush to judgment.
And they also have the whistleblowers report on their side as well. So
and
I mean, it's
IG.
Not like they have to dig up all of this information out of
they
suspicion. It's there.
They just need to confirm everything.
As the inquiry goes forward, they are going to find new charges are going to appear. They're literally lying all over the ground. So I don't think this is going to be as fast as Nancy Pelosi wants it to be or as narrow as she wants it to be. If we find that he has been selling out the United States to Russia, selling out the United States to Saudi Arabia, and we get the documentation of that, add new charges.
It actually isn't Nancy Pelosi. It's her young members are pushing for a narrow, fast trial. And the one I want to hear from is Nadler and all this, because Nadler's got some pretty interesting charges against the president, too, that he's looking
but
into.
Eric
what happens Swalwell, to them?
Swalwell, however you say
the
his
guy
name,
from California.
Since this morning said that they very recently decided to keep it so narrow, it's only going to be on the phone call.
History will not allow this, especially if there are other crimes discovered.
Yeah.
Well, Nancy is saying that the subject of the inquiry is one thing, but it doesn't preclude investigating other things. Just like now, you don't call it inquiry.
That's what happened to Nixon.
Right. You're right.
Yeah, didn't she solicit information from the six different House committees?
She did, and that was her process, which I thought was pretty brilliant. But since the two reports, it's smoking gun. That's what everybody's calling it. So much information has come out so fast. They had another caucus meeting, and the freshmen, especially the young congressmen, are saying, go after this right now, keep it real narrow, and do this.
What a freshman. So it's changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why they're freshmen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think she's had pretty good instincts, but she's gone along with it. She's not pushed them. And I do think it's because she can see you do both.
So what do you think the timeline's going to be?
Before Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they're going to wrap it up around Thanksgiving.
There's no way.
This can't go into 2020.
Yeah, I think
there's no way. It's going into 2020 because the nature of gathering this classified information out there is going to, you're talking a White House that will refuse to cooperate. Mm-hmm. There are people I suspect will come to the inquiries and will tell you, I will not answer questions. The Attorney General and Justice won't prosecute me. And this thing's going to go well into early 2020. And what you're going to have is you're going to have a fight where the impeachment inquiry will go from him in Ukraine to showing that this is a massively corrupt administration.
I think the stonewalling is going to continue on the part of the White House, but the courts are going to be less likely to go along with it and give delays because it's now impeachment. That's a whole different ballgame than what we've had up to now.
Perhaps.
And remember, the president will likely dangle some pardons.
Another article of impeachment. God, come on. Look, see, we can't even end this show.
How many have been offered already?
I don't know. When Judith said dangling pardons, I was ready to leave. Let's end there. My thanks to everybody for being with us this morning. Thanks for all the letters, and thanks for a wonderful panel. Rosemary Armero, Aaron Pacitti, thank you. Malcolm, great to have you back.
I'm glad to be home.
Thank you very much. And Judith Heng, thank you. We'll be back with more show right after this.